Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has commissioned all of us, his brothers and sisters, to proclaim his word, dear fellow redeemed, this morning we're celebrating Trinity Sunday. Today that the church has chosen for us to worship our triune God, God of our salvation, for all the things that he has done for us. And what things are those? Well, during this past half of the church year, we've seen some amazing events. We've seen our loving Heavenly Father send his Son into this world by having him conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He sent him as our substitute Savior. We've seen God the Son, God and man in one person, come into this world and place himself under the law of God and keep every one of God's commandments and regulations perfectly in thought, word, and deed as our substitute. He paid for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins and proved that, as we saw on Easter Sunday, his resurrection from the dead. And we saw the Holy Spirit come into this world to proclaim the gospel through people, so that through the means of grace, the gospel, and word and sacraments, he would take dead, spiritually blind, unbelieving hearts and create a living faith in Christ Jesus. What amazing events. Well, in our text this morning, we hear of the prophet Isaiah seeing an amazing event at the beginning of his prophetic ministry. In this vision, he saw with his own eyes the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus, before his conception, in the temple, surrounded by seraphim, angels with six wings. Two they flew, two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. What an awesome and majestic, yet also terrifying and frightening sight. Awesome and majestic because the Lord is giving to Isaiah a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, face to face with our Savior, and seeing all the angels. What glory, what beauty, what awe. But terrifying and frightening because of the holiness, because of that righteousness. Those angels were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." This great hymn of praise was so powerful that we're told the foundation of that temple began to shake. The angels covered their feet and their faces in reverence and humility to the Lord God. Their threefold cry of "Holy, holy, holy" signifies that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all holy, for all three persons of God are unique in their oneness, and they all have the same characteristics, attributes, as one God, three in one. So, what an awe-inspiring moment for Isaiah. And how does Isaiah react? Is he full of excitement? Is he pumped with eagerness? Ready to go? He's filled with fear and with shame. He cries out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Literally, the word undone means destroyed, put out of existence. Isaiah realizes that he, a sinner, has just been standing before the righteous, the holy Messiah, Lord and King of heaven and earth. And when he saw the holiness and righteousness of his God, he really realized the utter horror and filth of his own sins. He cries out, "I'm a man of unclean lips." But not only is he contaminated with sin, the entire nation of Israel is. And he says, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." So Isaiah despairs of life. He believes this is the end. He's going to cease to exist. He's going to be destroyed because he, a simple human being, has seen the righteous, the holy Jehovah God in all of his holiness. What a marvelous lesson for all of us to learn. This morning we too came into God's house to come and stand before God's presence. For this is where God's presence is, in his word, his gospel, and sacraments. And even as Isaiah, standing before the Lord, realized the utter horror and filth of his sins because of God's righteousness, we too saw and felt the same thing. And that's why we began our worship service after the baptism. We began our worship service with us coming before God as spiritual paupers, acknowledging and confessing our sins with these words: "Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and did not deserve to be called your child." In other words, woe is me, for I am undone. We have broken every one of God's commandments in thought, word, and deed, not just once or twice, but thousands of times throughout our lifetime. How selfish and self-centered our lives so often are. How often we live our lives not according to God's will, but according to our will. How lovelessly we have treated others. How impatient we've been. How unforgiving. How impure or immoral our thoughts so often are. We are so far away from God's perfection that we feel the weight, the enormity of our sins upon our hearts, and we cry out, "I am undone. I deserve death and damnation." So are we undone like Isaiah? Yeah, we're like sinners. We're sinners like Isaiah. But we know that Jesus Christ has come to redeem us, to buy us back from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And that's why our confession continued, thankfully, with these words: "But, trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sins, and take away my guilt." And thank God that every single one of us then heard this response: "God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will." So, what happened to Isaiah? Was he undone? Was he destroyed? Now, scripture tells us that one of the seraphim flew over to the altar, removed a fiery coal, flew over to Isaiah, and touched his lips with that fiery coal, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." What a beautiful symbolic picture of the cleansing, the washing away of our sins with our Savior's shed blood, like being cleansed with a fiery hot coal. This coal of purification came from the altar. Well, Christ's shed blood was sacrificed upon the altar of the cross there in Calvary. And Jesus touched us with his sacrificial shed blood and washed us clean of all of our sins. The same prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 1, verse 18, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So we're not only a little clean, we're completely cleansed. All of our guilt, all the punishment we deserve, all of our filth have been washed clean completely, thoroughly cleansed. The Lord tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all, literally each and every sin. Isn't that amazing? What a wonder that God the Son would condescend to leave his throne in heaven in order to be damned for me and for you, and to wash us of all our sins. And then what a wonder that the same Jesus would then say, "Now I want you, I'm going to give you the responsibility and the privilege to take that same message, not my angels, but you, sinful creatures that you are, to take that same message and tell it to others." But when you think of it, who better to proclaim these blessings than the ones who benefit the most? Who better to tell other filthy, lost, miserable, dead sinners that they've been washed clean by Christ than us, washed sinners? So the Lord asks, "Whom shall I send? Who will go out for us?" And now Isaiah is no longer filled with fear, trepidation, or shame. With eagerness and zeal and joy, he says, "Here am I! Send me." Filled with God's grace, the powerful love of his Lord and Savior, he wants to serve his Lord. What made him so fit and eager to do this? He had received the law and the gospel in a most powerful way. Those who think little of their sins, don't think of themselves as being really bad, also don't appreciate Jesus very much. Those who've realized the enormity of their sins, those who realize that every single sin, every single one sin of thought, word, or deed, separates from God, and God hates sin, realizes that, are the ones who appreciate greatly the mercy, the grace of our loving Father, and the washing away of our sins, the sacrifice of our Savior. King David felt that burden. He felt the enormity of the weight of his sins when he was confronted by Nathan, sin of adultery, sin of murder. But then he also felt the immense relief and the beauty of the forgiveness when he was told this, the Lord had forgiven his sins. And so he wrote, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." Isaiah experienced God's mercy and forgiving love, and then he was called into the office of the prophet to proclaim that mercy and love. David experienced God's mercy and forgiving love and was called to be a king and also a prophet through his many, many psalms. You and I have experienced God's mercy and forgiving love, and God has called every one of us, his children, to be his witnesses, his mouthpieces, his ambassadors, his representatives, to proclaim a crucified and risen Christ to all people. This morning, our triune God is asking every single one of you here this morning, whom shall I send? Who'll go for us? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who'll go for us? What's our response? How are you going to answer that? We can't say that we didn't hear it. We can't ignore it. That'd be to the detriment and danger of our souls. If we say that, well, not me, Lord. I'm too busy. I got other things to do. Don't send me. And then we need to reevaluate our allegiances, our priorities to our Lord and Savior, and see if our heart isn't covered with hypocrisy. But if the Holy Spirit has filled our heart with Christ-forgiving love, then we are a changed person. And then we'll be willing and ready to go out. And as redeemed, blood-bought sinners, tell others, Jesus saved you. Jesus died for you. Jesus was damned and washed you clean of all of your sins. Have been touched with Christ's shed blood, his love and forgiveness like a hot burning coal will be on fire for Jesus and eager to get the message out. You know, there's now in every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's now a compelling, powerful force that lives inside your heart of faith. What is it? That's the gospel. The gospel tells you Jesus loves you. He washed you clean. The Holy Spirit has empowered you with that gospel. And the triune God has called you to go out and take that gospel and spread it to people whom you know, to people whom you meet, and to serve him. God the Father called his Son and sent his Son into this world to live, to suffer, and die for mankind. And Jesus willingly, readily said, here am I, send me. May the Holy Spirit, having filled our hearts with Christ's forgiving love, lead us to say every day of our lives, here am I, send me. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.